You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want to welcome everybody that's listening online. We got people literally all over the world, which is great, that tune in to us online, which is great. So thanks for doing that. And also on the radio, which is amazing. And here at The Loop and downtown, Espanol, Cypress, Siena, everybody all over. If you got a Bible, I want you to turn to Psalm 34 is where we're going to be. Psalm 34, it's just one verse is what we're going to cover, and I'll give you that enough in just a bit. But we're going to look at four verses in context. But we begun a series last week, and if you didn't hear it last week, I encourage you to get the message last week, because it's really pivotal for even this week as well, talking about anxiety. Anxiety, stress, worry, fear. And you know what? Last week after I preached about anxiety, fear, worry, stress, people came up to me and said, I don't know why you're talking about that. We never deal with that. Or person after person came up and said, thank you for talking about that. Thank you for being transparent about that. I'm dealing with that right now. This is happening right now. This is what's going on in my life. I'm worried about this. I'm stressed about this. It's on and on about it. We're all dealing with it. It doesn't matter what age we are. We're dealing with it. Students, you're dealing with it because you're thinking, I got to get the grades. I got to get the grades, or I'm not going to get into that college, or I'm not going to get that job. Then you get out and you get that job. You're like, how do I get a promotion? Am I going to be single forever? And you're stressed out about that. Then you get married and everything's supposed to be perfect. Now you realize he and she, boy, this is a difficult thing to get this whole thing going together. So let's just have a couple kids. That'll make it easy. Let's do that. So then you have a couple kids and now you're stressed out about them and you're worried about them and you're worried about your job and your marriage and your kids. And now it's on and on it goes. So you think, finally, when I get retired, this will be great. Now you're stressed out. Do I have enough money? Will I outlive my money? Will my money outlive me? How will this work? What will my health do? What will happen? And what happens is every category of life has something to be anxious and stressed and worried about and fearful about. And we all think that the other categories have it easy. If I could just get to that one, or if I could just go back to that one, everything would be fine. And that's not the case. It's a part of the human experience to have anxiety, to have stress, to be nervous about things, to worry about things. And God uses that as a tool to show us we were made for heaven and we need him. So students, listen up. Singles, listen up. Married, listen up. Empty nesters, listen up. Retired, listen up. All of us in Houston need to listen up. And you know why? Because the Astros are stressing us out. That's what's happening. We got to wait till the ninth inning, and so we're like, praise the Lord, but praise the Lord for Altuve and Correa at the same time. We're praising for that. So we're all going to stay up way too late in the next week. We're all going to be stressed out in the next week. Next Sunday, all campuses, because we're believing we're going to be in the World Series, we're all going to wear our Astros gear next Sunday is what we're going to do. So just be ready for that. Come ready to go to root on the Astros to be able to do that. But even in this time of baseball, that's supposed to be so just fun and easy and relaxing and America's pastime, it's stressful. We live in a state of stress and anxiety. I asked our counseling center to give us a definition, and so I used this last week. I want to review last week just really quickly with us so we'll know where we are. Here's the definition, a clinical definition, if you will, of anxiety. Anxiety is a psychological and physiological, that's your body, your mind and your body, state of arousal caused by the brain's interpretation of a stimulus as a threat. So psychologically, what am I thinking about? Physiologically, boy, my back sure is tight. My lower back's tight. I got acid reflux. I got heartburn. I got high blood pressure. I'm just stressed out about all these things. So it's not just in your mind. It's also your body responding to it. We've all felt that. It's a state of arousal caused by the brain's interpretation of a stimulus as a threat. But you know what happens as well? We get anxious about not just a threat. We get anxious about a thrill. And there's something about us as humans that can turn a threat into a thrill into a threat really, really quick. You've just been invited to a fancy schmancy gala dinner with all these important people. Wow, what's, ladies, your next thought? What am I gonna wear? Exactly. The thrill turns to a threat. What are we gonna say? Are we gonna make a good impression? Your biggest client has just called and wants to talk with you. Awesome. Oh no, is something wrong? The thrill moves to the threat. Even all of the things we have with sports that we were laughing and joking about. Don't you know these guys have been waiting their whole life to get in the World Series? And now they're like, oh my goodness, I'm in the World Series. The thrill can move to a threat really quick. And life is a combination of thrills and threats that produce anxiety in us. And we've got to realize it's not just psychological, it's not just physiological, it's also spiritual. Anxiety is rooted in unbelief. It's giving us an opportunity of spiritual growth. Why am I not believing God for this moment right here? How do I need to trust him deeper for this moment? It's also rooted in unbelief. So we got our spirit going on. We got our soul going on. We got our minds in it. We got our bodies in it. And everything's happening all at once. There's three different forms of anxiety that we referred to and talked more extensively about last week. But just as a reminder, it's this. Types of anxiety. One is chemical. It may be that the chemicals in your neurons and your neurotransmitters are out of balance. It may be because you're going through puberty. It may be because you're going through menopause. Your body can go through a whole lot of different things. It may be just a stage, or it may be something you need to really look at medically. And you got a stress meter that's just a little off. Number two, it can be reactive. Reactive is that you've been in a constant state of stress for an extended period of time. So now your brain does not know how to turn off. So you've been going and going and going and going for so long, you can't turn it off. So you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking about stuff all the time. You go on vacation, you're thinking about stuff. You're always, it's always in gear. The pedal's always down. The RPMs are revving at like 6,000, even when there's nothing going on. You've been in a constant state of stress, unable to shut it off, and anxiety has become the new normal. That's reactive. That's the one that's a challenge for me personally. Number three, traumatic. Traumatic is your coping mechanisms have been overwhelmed. Your house has been flooded. All your stuff is on the curb. You've been overwhelmed in your coping mechanisms. Somebody important to you has died or is sick or is not feeling well. You've been overwhelmed in your coping mechanisms. All of those things have happened. Now you're overwhelmed. You're like, what do I do? We're all going to go through a traumatic experience, and we're all going to feel this type of anxiety at some point. But there's some, that's where you are right now. So those are the three different kinds that then begin to react where our shoulders are tight and our neck, we kind of keep doing this over and over. We're always stretching our lower back, our heart's beating. We're on medicine for this, we're on medicine for that, which may be tremendously valid. I'm not saying it's not. But our body is reacting to what's happening in our minds and in our hearts and most importantly in our souls before God. Look at Psalm 34, verse 4. I'm going to read 4 through 8 to give us context. Verse 4 is what we began last week and what we're going to hit this week. It'd be a great memory verse for you at all campuses to be able to memorize this verse. Here's what it says in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he has delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. That's awesome. Verse 8, this is key. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. I'm inviting you today to taste and see that the Lord is good, so that we can deal with these things of anxiety in a way that's positive for us to grow and for us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 4, it kicked off with this. I sought the Lord. That's what we talked about last week. That was the whole message. I sought the Lord. How do we seek him in anxiety? And he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. The first thing we have to do is we have to trust that he hears us. Trust that he hears you. Trust that God hears you. The fact that it says he answered me presupposes two things. Number one, we prayed. And number two, he heard us and he's going to answer us. So he heard us. We need to understand that God hears us. KSBJ is a great radio station in our city. KHCB is a great radio city in our city too. That's great. Two great Christian radio stations. What's the slogan of KSBJ? Can you say it with me? God listens. You got the billboard up even of KSBJ, of God listens. Let's say it all together on the count of three. One, two, three. God listens. God listens to us. He hears us. He hears us. He knows what you're going through before you're even going through it. It's presupposing, though, you're calling out in prayer to him. Have you ever watched somebody on the news, you know, they're whoever they are, they say, well, our prayers and thoughts are with so-and-so. Have you ever had this thought? I know it's judgmental. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know that you're really praying. I mean, I've seen you because you put yourself out there in front of us for, you know, X amount of time, and I've never seen you as a man or woman of prayer. And now in this moment, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Your thoughts are great, but your prayers are speaking to God. Your thoughts aren't going to get much done but stress you out more. But our prayers that we seek God and we pray to him, it presupposes that we're praying to him. I heard you. He heard you. God listens. Means that we're really praying. Are we really taking our anxieties to him? Or are we just pushing through? Are we just stuffing them, or are we giving them over to the Lord? See, the silence of God is true in feeling, but not in fact. The silence of God is true in feeling, but not in fact. You will go through a time, numerous times in your life, in which you will feel like God is silent. I've had those times. I'll have another one of those times. It's a part of the Christian experience. But what you do is you don't give up, because you know the fact is, he heard me. God listens. That's the fact. That's the truth about it, is he listens. The feeling feels like he doesn't hear me. He doesn't know I exist. He doesn't care. But the fact is, he does hear, and he does care, and he does listen. Kelly and I, my wife and I, were having a little discussion on the couch one day. It was kind of, could be called a tiff, you know, if you wanted to call it that. Could be called a little bit of a conflict type of thing. It was one of those discussions. You sit down on the couch, you kind of look at each other in the eye, and you go, well, what I meant was, and you say your case. And then the other one says, well, what I thought was, and everybody's being really enunciating their words to make sure that we get our points across and not cause the fight to be worse. And so finally I said to her, I said, you know, I feel like you never listen to me. Which for me, just to tell thousands, is code for I'm losing the fight and I'm trying to pull an emotional string, okay, is what I'm doing. I know I'm wrong, but if I could throw out a bit, I feel like you never listen to me. Then at that moment, we can kind of go on emotion instead of what really happened, because I know that I blew it over here. So I'm just one gasping last breath is what I'm trying to do as a husband at this thing. I feel like you never listen to me. And my wife, my sweet wife, your pastor's wife, she said, I never listen to you. All I do is listen to you. For decades, I've listened to you. I've traveled around the world listening to you. I've gone across the country listening to you. I listen to you every Sunday, a few times every Sunday, a couple times every Sunday at least. People quote you to me. I never listen to you? Am I? Yeah, let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord. I lose, you're right, uh-huh. And God is saying, I'm listening to you. I hear everything you think. I hear everything you say. I know every word on your tongue before you speak it. I never listen to you. I'm not hearing you. I'm silent. I've spoken with all of creation and all of the Bible. And I know in this moment at 11 o'clock at night, from 11 to 11:28, it feels like I'm silent, but I'm always here to listen to you. How do you get over anxieties? You realize God hears you. He hears you and he answers you, and you pray to him and you call out to the Lord. The silence may feel true, but it's not. Walk bigger in your faith. Trust deeper in your faith. Secondly, realize deep questions lead to deep people. Do you want to be a deep person? We have a very shallow society that is imploding. We are self-destructing before our eyes. We don't need any more rich people. We don't need any more smart people. We don't need any more talented people. We don't need any more people that can sing or preach or whatever the talent you want to throw out there. We need deep people that walk in deep things, that think deep questions, that answer deep questions of their friends, instead of just superficial people skipping across the pond until we sink. Deep questions develop deep people. We have an opportunity for growth in our lives. Opportunity for growth. It says this in Hebrews 6, we have an anchor of the soul that is firm and secure. Anchors go deep to the places people don't see. Last week, we had an illustration. We just worked through the whole message, and I'll work it through this message as well, that the river, the Niagara River, heading to Niagara Falls, that a bridge, right as you go under it with your boat, it's a ways to the falls. It has a sign that says on it two questions. Do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? Do you have an anchor? That's good. That's a start. Do you know how to use it? Do you have an anchor of depth in your life? What is the anchor? The anchor is Jesus Christ. It's that God has come from heaven through his son, Jesus. The gospel is that Christ died for your sins. It's not your willpower. It's not your unction. It's not your knowledge. It's not your money. It's not your talent. It is Jesus, the good news of the gospel of Christ, that he lives inside of you. He can save your soul. You can place your sin on him and he'll give you righteousness and forgiveness. And then you can walk in greater depth with him. He's an anchor. Do you have an anchor? His name's Jesus. Do you know how to use it? And a lot of believers have the anchor and we don't know how to use it. I'm going to tell you how to use it today. Deep people ask deep questions and they see anxiety and fear as an aspect or a place for deep growth in their life, spiritual growth. Now, let me give you three things on this place of depth. And maybe you want to take some notes on your listening guide to be able to share these with a friend or whoever. Number one, or for your own heart. Number one, pour out your heart to him. How do you become a deep person? Number one, you pour out your heart to him. It's not just your thoughts and prayers, really trite little sweet thing, which is a great statement. That's awesome. Amen. But to be able to say, I'm really praying. I'm really seeking. I'm pouring out my heart to him. Psalm 62, trust in him, God, at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. Arise and cry out in the night from the first watch of the night. Pour your heart out like water before the Lord's presence. Pour your heart out to him. Try not to fear, but to grow in your faith. Morning will come. Morning will come. The darkness of the feeling that you have, hang on, pour out your heart to him. Be honest with him. He knows it anyway. Pour out your heart and let him have that. Number two, feel the feelings. Feel the feelings. Sit with the feelings. The book of Psalms is all about feelings. What do? We dismiss the feelings. We stuff the feelings. We try to push through the feelings. We try to talk ourselves out of the feelings. You ever done this? I feel terrible. I'm so anxious. I'm so nervous. But, you know, at least I have food on the table. There's people starving and wherever. It's like, yeah, it doesn't really help today. To be able to do that, we try to dismiss them. We try to put them into some other, I got it better than so-and-so. Feel the feelings. The feelings will pass. You will feel different. That's how we operate as humans. How you feel today is not how you're going to feel tomorrow. Feel the feelings and sit with them and try to really ask the question, why am I feeling like this? What am I really nervous about? It says in Psalms, why is my soul downcast? Why am I downtrodden? Why do I feel like this? Well, I feel like I said something I shouldn't have and that person's not gonna like me anymore, or I lost favor with them, or I said something dumb. Okay, let me process that. Let me think about that. Because most likely that person has moved on and they're not even thinking about that anymore. I love the phrase, you wouldn't worry what people thought of you if you knew how seldom they did. You wouldn't worry what people thought of you if you knew how seldom they did. But we worry about it, don't we? And sometimes we need to go back and apologize and make sure it's right. There's communication that needs to happen, no question. Why am I feeling like this? What am I scared about? Am I obedient to the Lord? Last week we talked about don't underestimate the power of obedience in your life. Am I anxious about resources? Because I'm not faithful to God with my resources. Am I anxious to God before God because of my marriage? Because I'm not faithful to God in my marriage. What is it? Where is this coming from? Sit with it, assess it, because here's what you've got to do. Ephesians 6:16, the fiery darts of the evil one are aimed at your heart and are coming at you. And the shield of faith extinguishes, not just deflects, extinguishes the fiery darts. And sometimes the fiery dart makes it past the shield of faith into the little seam of the armor and makes it right into my heart. Like, man, I got through the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith quick. Zing, I feel it. I literally, physically feel it. What is that? And I can pluck that out and say, okay, I need to trust God here. This is a place of unbelief. I need to trust him with this and this shield of faith and let this fiery dart be extinguished. Feel the feelings. Why do you feel? Why are you anxious? What's on the line? What's at risk right now? Well, really nothing. All right, let's pray about it. Let's keep going. The second thing here is, number two is feel the feelings. Number three is process forward. Process forward. Don't just process, zing, 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 zing. How many times are we worried about something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? Process forward. Take a step with it. Okay, I'm worried about that. Why am I worried about that? What can I do about that? How can I help fix that? How can I just give that to the Lord? What's the deal with this? Let me process forward. Journal your thoughts. This is my journal right here. This is my journal. I've done something interesting. I've had many journals, but this one, what I've done a little bit new on this is one thing I've been doing over the last couple things. I just write at the beginning of a new page. Every time I turn to a new page, I just write new page at the top. Just to remind myself, there's a ton of new pages in my life. I can turn a page on a lot of different things. New page, blank slate, new day, sun rose. Let's go for it again, see what happens. Let's keep at it. New page, I've just been writing that at the top of my journal. I've been using this as my things to do journal and my heart journal. To just try to put something together in my life and say, Lord, just help me on this. I don't want to have two different things going on. I want you to do this. Sometimes I do it different, but this is my journal. This is what happens. I'm telling you what kind of journal I am. I'm a bad journaler. That's what kind of journal I am. I don't journal very much unless things get tough. So whenever I die and people start reading my journal, it's all going to be bad stuff, okay, is what's going to happen. I never journal the good things. Why journal the good things? I don't have time for that. Let's live the good things. Let's just do the good things, right? I don't write a journal that's like a diary. I don't sit down saying, I ordered the chicken salad. It was so sweet. My wife was wearing green. Who cares, right? I mean, I care about what my wife's wearing. It's a beautiful green. But to be able to, I only got a few words coming out of a pen. So I can't be doing what I ate for lunch that day. My journal entries are, Dear Lord, I need your help on this. God, I don't know what to do with this. Lord, I need your wisdom. God, this aches in my heart. What's this snag in my soul? What's this knot in my heart? And I just begin to process and journal. I'm afraid about this. I'm scared about this. I'm nervous about this. This is coming. What are you doing here? I don't know what's happening. That's what happens for me. I'm processing, though, forward is what I'm trying to do. I'm not just whining, and that's what we'll do. We'll just start complaining all the time. Processing forward is different. So how do you become a deep person? You pour out your heart, you feel the feelings, and you process forward. There's songs in the night that you may have to sing. I'll give you two of my songs that I really love, and they'll come on my headphones, and I'll just find them on my phone and put them on my headphones. Chris Tomlin's song where it says, Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You're my refuge. You're my strength. Let faith arise. That's a great 3 a.m. song right there. That's a good one. Sarah Groves, a particular one that I really like, it's called The Long Defeat. It begins, it said, I'm so conditioned for a win. So conditioned for a win. But there's other treasures I've discovered in defeat, is basically what she's saying. She says a lot better than that. But defeat brings things. There's treasures in the scars, one Hillsong song says. Here's what she says in The Long Defeat in the chorus. We walk a while and we sit and rest. We lay it on the altar. Now here's what I love. This is so good for me. I won't pretend to know what's next. But what I have, I offer. I don't know what's next, but what I have, I offer. I pray for a vision, a way I cannot see. It's too heavy to carry, but it's impossible to leave. I pray for inspiration, a way I cannot see. It's too heavy to carry, but it's impossible to leave. It's too heavy to carry. Now, here's what I like. And I will never leave. And when you sing that out before the Lord, you listen to that in your headphones, and I'm not going anywhere, God. I'm staying right here with you, and I'm trusting you in the midst of this. Psalm 34:4. Let's look at it one more time. Then I'm going to give you a couple more. Just this is how do you use your anchor type stuff. Psalm 34:4. Here's what it says. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he has delivered me from all my fears. Can you imagine he's delivered me from all my fears? That is absolutely incredible. Last thing, and we're going to wrap up in just a second. Jesus rescues lives and renews minds. You know that's the business Jesus is in? We think Jesus is in the business of receiving perfect people. That's not it. Jesus is in the business of rescuing lives and renewing minds. God sent Christ from heaven to earth to rescue you in salvation, to rescue you also in sanctification, to grow you in your faith. Anxiety, fear, stress, worry is an opportunity of spiritual growth. So how do we get rescued? How do we understand that? Well, first it's trusting Jesus that he came to earth and then we can trust him as our Savior. That's the anchor. And then how do we use the anchor? Do we know how to use it? Let me give you three things. First of all, we've got to develop new habits. New habits have to be developed. And the first of those habits has to be lifestyle changes. Now here's where I'm going to go from preaching to meddling, okay? This is going to be the worst part of the message. Lifestyle changes. We are a physical body. We are a physiological thing. Anxiety is psychological. It's physiological. No question, it comes from the root of spirituality and unbelief. But it affects our body. We've got to be able to look at our lifestyle and say, is my lifestyle conducive for life? So what does that mean by that? I mean, what's your schedule look like? Are you just packed all the time? always going, never home, bam, 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 running around all day long, all night long. Food, what are you eating? What are you putting in your body? Do you just like food, or is the food actually like you? What's going on with that? What's going in? Exercise. Is anything going to be in your life with exercise? I'm not talking about, you know, clings and bench presses and like walking around with weight belts. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to find out. I mean, how can I not die when I'm 60 is what my goal is. You know, I'm just, and those that are 60, let's use 70 as your number. That's fine. But what's going on in my body? What's happening? What am I eating? What's going in? What's happening with my schedule? Am I sleeping? Am I resting? Am I having caffeine like crazy all the time? What's happening in America? Here's what's happening in America. And it's all of us. And I could be just as guilty. Don't worry. I'm chief of sinners. We don't sleep enough, right? Especially those of you all have kids. You hadn't slept in decades. I mean, in 10 years from now, I'm going to sleep again is what I think is going to happen. But you just, it's just going. You got all sorts of things going on. Things are happening. It's stressful. So we don't sleep much. So then we wake up in the morning. Oh, I can't function until I get my 2 cups of coffee. Then we start pouring in caffeine into us over and over and over. So then we start eating sugar all day long to just keep us going over and over and over. Then we get a Coke in the middle of the day. Then we get some more of this and more of that. And we just keep pouring it in, pouring it in. So now we're so juiced up, we can't go to sleep at night. And we never exercise, and we never do any of these things, and our schedule's crazy. We are asking to be anxious. We are choosing to be stressed out. We are choosing to die an early death. We've got to look at our lifestyle changes and be able to do that. Now, what I do, just give you a couple tips. I try. I'm bad at it. I don't always do a good job with it. I try it before I go to bed. Man, take a good hot shower so I just kind of wind down. Get, oh, man, just get all clean, ready. Oh. Then I get sleepy time tea. You can buy it over the counter, any grocery store. I make a hot tea. I used to use the kettle. Now I don't have time to use the kettle. I use a microwave, you know. But the kettle was like, it just felt Little House on the Prairie-ish, you know. And I'd pour my tea and I'd get my sleepy time tea. Sometimes I go full on sleepy time extra tea is what I do. It says on the box, don't operate heavy equipment, which is totally cool because I never operate heavy equipment. I mean, who operates heavy equipment? So I never do that. I mean, I drive a car, but I think they're talking about bulldozers. So I get that. And then I have my tea. I open up my journal. I get my Bible. I put the pillows on the back of the bed, headboard. And I sit there and I have my tea. And sometimes I turn on the radio and I just wind down. I wake up. I've been off caffeine for probably over a decade. I mean, can you imagine me with caffeine? I mean, look at me now. That'd be terrible. It's terrible. So just pure, I know me, I'm hyped up enough. I don't need help on that. What's the lifestyle change for you? Take it for whatever you want, but if not, you're just pouring into yourself and you're asking for more. And then what's going to happen? It's a weird little spin. You're going to actually then go back to that stuff to try to help you with what's actually causing you to be this whole place. And it's a vicious cycle that just traps us. So we say, well, I just have diet everything. And then it's pumped with all these fake sugars. You know, it's not even real sugars. I mean, it's just a loop. It's a loop that we get into. So how are we going to do this? How do we use the anchor? Well, we look at our own lives and we say, you know what? I want to do this. I want to live this life right. One other thing on that. I've found in my life, I think it's true as a rule, preparation helps the living of life. Preparation helps the living of life. So this here, I you know how stressful it'd be to stand up and talk to y'all every week if I didn't have all this stuff? And you know how much you'd leave and you'd be like, well, he's good, but he kind of rambles. I mean, you know, preparation for thousands of hours of listening is important. So we've got to prepare for life so that when we get to that place, we're like, I'm prepared. So when they're in the World Series, that isn't the first time they picked up a bat. We all want to do what they do, but do we want to do what they did? We hadn't been thinking about baseball. They've been thinking about baseball since they were like 8. Preparation helps you to excel at a higher level. So you're able to grow so that stress isn't quite as much because you're like, I can do this. God can do this through me. I'm ready for this. I understand this. I've done my research. Number 2, counseling and friendship. Counseling and friendship. A verse of scripture I'd love for you to write down. It's probably in your listening guide. Yeah, it's already written there. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Just circle that and look it up later. This is what it says. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. So we may need counseling, and we for sure need friendship. and friendship to counsel us. We need somebody to encourage us. We are such an encouraging church. Let's continue to be like that. It means so much to people when you say, you did a good job on that life Bible study lesson. Thank you for your preparation. I appreciate you praying for me. Thanks for asking me how I was doing today. Thanks for saying I looked pretty. Say to somebody, you look pretty today. Make sure it's your wife, though. Let's don't get crazy. But you look great today, whatever it is. And let's just encourage one another and say, great job on that. An encouraging word, a specific encouragement from the right person will boost our spirit. A general kind of phrase maybe won't do it from somebody you don't know well, but the specific person with a specific encouragement, that'll really touch your heart. Counseling and friendship to get through anxiety and all of those things. The Lord, what's one of his names? A wonderful counselor. So God is your counselor. Jesus is your counselor. And I just tell you, just to free you up, I've been to a counselor. I've talked with counselors to work through stuff. Anybody in a high level of leadership is going to need to talk to somebody at some point. Anybody in life is going to need to talk to somebody at some point. We have our counseling center at all of our campuses. We'll help you out with that. Last week, I said, you're free to get counseling, and everybody heard it's free counseling. So let me back up a bit. There's a little fee involved, but we'll help you out with that and scholarship you as well as that. So I need to clean up my mess from last week. But to be able to be with a counselor is a great thing. There's times in your life you're going to be like, there's a snag. My sleeve keeps getting caught. There's a knot in my heart. There's a wave of anxiety that comes through at the weirdest of times. I don't even know what I'm worried about. Now I'm worried I'm going to get worried. You ever been anxious about getting anxious? And I just need somebody to help me unwind this a bit. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Talk to somebody. Number three, and finally, and then we'll close up, processing. We talked about processing forward. I want to take it one more notch. Processing with heart work. You know what heart work is? Heart work is soul work. It's doing work on your heart, saying, Lord, let me do work on your heart. Guys, can I tell you, just speak to the men for a second? We don't do good at this. What happens is we stuff our anxiety, we stuff our stress, we stuff our fear. Have you ever gotten home from work and something went wrong at work and you take it out on your kids and you're mad at your kids? Your kids didn't do anything but be a kid, but you're like, you know, triangulating them into the issue. And so you're leaking it out there because we're not doing heart work. We're stuffing things out. Your body is going to leak it. Men, it's going to leak in anger is what it's going to leak in most of us. So we got to do heart work. This is a place of heart work for me. This is a place of heart work where I can say, Lord, help me to do through this. I want to work on my heart. People are working on their business. People are going to work on their lives. They're going to work on their parents. Do you work on your heart? Because the overflow of the heart is what the mouth is going to speak. The overflow of the heart is what you're going to actually live. And so we got to work on our hearts. Now, I put on the bottom of your listening guide, there's the verses down here, which is great. And so you can take that and circle those verses. Hope you've been taking notes. If not, you're breaking my heart. But that's okay. In those verses there, I'm teasing. On those verses, these are those same verses. English teachers, please don't email me. I don't know how to say it. So these verses are the same ones that are in here, right here. What I did is I went and I just Googled anxiety verses and got to Franklin Graham or Billy Graham's website, I can't remember which, and they just gave me about 10 or 11 verses here. So here's what I did. I printed them out. This is weeks ago. A lot of stress with Harvey and all that's going on. Printed them out. And I've kept these in my journal for weeks. Here's what I've done. I've taken these verses out and I've gone through a verse at a time, a phrase at a time. So it's taken me like 3 to 5 days to get through one verse of doing heart work in my heart. Not because, you know, I've been in this crazy bad spot. No, I've actually been in a great spot and I'm in a better spot because of this, of doing heart work. Do you know what the third verse is on this? Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. The verse we've been teaching. Doing soul work with God, a verse at a time, a phrase at a time, so that God can do something in your heart and life. And then what happens is your anxiety turns to a story of victory. Does that mean you'll never be anxious again? You will for sure be anxious again. You will for sure be stressed out again. You will for sure be nervous again. You will for sure be worried again. But you'll say, I have an anchor and I know how to use it. Let me sit down with these feelings. Let me process what's happening in my mind, what's happening in my body, what's happening in my spirit. Am I pouring my heart out to the Lord? Am I doing any soul work? Am I just Coke after coffee, sleeping 4 hours a night? What's going on with my schedule? What's taking place? Let me assess this whole thing so that I can rise up in the strength of the Lord and say, I'm gonna follow and walk with you. And the power and strength of that is not your willpower, it's God's power through you. And he's given us anxiety and worry and stress, this can sound weird, as a gift to grow us in our faith in him so that we can rise up and minister to others and walk in strength with him.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.